It is really good to have you here today and to have some guests. Good to see Brother Keith up and with us, even though he was in the hospital last night. We had planned originally to have my brother, Mark, who pastors over in Enid, was going to be our speaker today. But my father has had some incidences that have caused him to have to stay in Enid. And he and his wife have moved in with my dad to just take care of him for this time of hopefully getting back on his feet. We'll have to wait and see. But I'm disappointed that we couldn't be blessed from the word that my brother Mark would have brought, which I have been nurtured and blessed by his life and ministry for many years. But we are here, and you are here. And what a good thing to see, as has already been mentioned, some friends and family and guests visiting today. If you'll take your Bible and open to Philippians chapter number 1. My focus this morning is going to be on our own church family, Great Light Baptist Church. In the end, we will include our guests and some closing applications, but the bulk of my focus will be to our dear people. And you are dear. You're dear to God. You're dear to me. I know that you're dear to one another. And God has given us a special relationship in these past few years that we have shared together. There are two references that I will be looking at out of the book of Philippians. One is in chapter 1, and the second one will be found in chapter number 2. My goal is to remind our people, to remind you, of our mission as a church that God has placed us in this particular community. There is a mission that comes with placement. And we want to be able to consider that this morning as the people of God. Providence, when you hear that word, providence is the unseen divine hand of God. He has put us here. That divine hand of God has put us here. This is not an accident. This is not just a bunch of unforeseen events. God has placed us here in this community, in this particular location, at this particular time. God is very intentional in all that God does. We may not understand it, nor even be able to perceive what is happening, but God is at work in the details. And He has placed our family, church family, here. There are many things about God's plan for us that we do not know initially as it's being worked out, or even as we don't even know tomorrow's, next week, and seldom even today. However, His plan does become more clear as time and events pass us. It's easier for me, and I'm sure for you as humans, to observe God's plan for us in hindsight, looking back over our path and seeing how God has worked. We get a sense of God's plan in hindsight. It's much easier than it is looking ahead and wondering, what is God going to do with us? What is His plan for us as a church here in this location? We don't know those details. This morning I want to focus on certain truths that are not impacted by time or place. They are always true, they are always relevant, and they are always important. Truths that are intended this morning, I trust, to encourage and to challenge us as a church family. These are the things I want to focus on for a few moments. The first reference is in chapter 1, beginning in verse number 6, and I will read this, and we will comment. Verse number 6. Being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Regardless of the unknown events of tomorrow, next week, next month, next year that we face as a church, and there's many things that are unknown to us, we, Great Light Baptist Church, can be confident, is what Paul says, of certain truths, and he states them here for us to know. These are not controlled by time, they're not controlled by circumstances. We can be confident of this. This very thing, says Paul, that he which hath begun a good work in you is going to continue that work until you meet his son. He's going to continue that work. I like the way it's stated. God hath begun a good work, and God will perform it. Whatever our mission is, whatever that mission looks like in this community, the thing that I am most pleased and glad to know is that it is not left to my plans. It's not left to my determination. It is left to God. God hath begun the good work, and God will perform it. That's the plan of God. That's the purpose of God being stated. So the performance, the effective outcome, is dependent upon God's faithfulness to us. And the promise is, Great Light, he will not fail us. We don't know what tomorrow holds, but this we can be assured of. He is with us, as we've already heard stated, and he will not fail us. He has a mission concerning us. Do we know that clearly? Do we know what it is in all of its detail? No, we don't. But there are some things about that mission that we do understand. But it is not dependent upon us. It is dependent upon God. What we must be careful of is to not impose our expectations on God. That's always a dangerous thing that we can be guilty of doing. So we must be careful in our anticipation of why God has placed us here, what our future is as a church in this community. We must not impose our expectations. We want to be faithful to what God does with us and through us. Regardless of events, we must stay focused on our mission. Listen to how he works this out in detail for them at the church at Philippi, verses 9, 10, and 11. Look at this quickly with me. And this I pray, that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in all judgment, discernment, to the degree, to this end, that you might be able to approve, discern things that are excellent things, so that you may be sincere and without offense till that day of Christ when you meet him. Being filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ, these are produced in you, and they're produced for the purpose of being unto the glory and the praise of God. So regardless of events, we must always stay focused. This is a part of God's plan for you here and now. We are to be constantly considering one another, and we must be constantly focused on our love for one another, Great Light, and that we are abounding in love one toward another, more and more, never thinking we've reached some level of satisfaction to God, but that we would constantly be abounding, growing, expanding in our love to one another. And he goes on and he says, yet more and more, that it would be in knowledge and in all judgment. So he's not talking about just simply emotional feelings. He's talking about a discerning judgment regarding the love that you give to each other. Love takes into consideration certain things. Love evaluates certain things. Love knows how to approach people in certain conditions and needs. There is a discernment and a knowledge that goes into love, loving properly, loving rightly. And a church needs to understand that it's not just about showing up and hugging each other. We love to do that. But that's not what he means here. It means that we are discerning, we understand, we are considering one another and their needs. We're trying to find ways and avenues so as to touch each other's lives. Don't ever assume that because people are faithful that everybody is necessarily doing well. I thank God who people who've learned to be faithful even when things are struggling. But it doesn't mean that people don't have needs just because they're here. And I want to encourage you not to lose sight of these things that we know. We don't know about tomorrow. We don't know how this is all going to play out in its mission. But one thing we do know is that we are responsible to love each other. And God has promised that he will continue to work that out in us. We can bank on it. He will not abandon us. He will be faithful to help us if we are obedient to him. And so we are of little value to our community if we are not living in faith and obedience to the things that we have here. So that you love and you grow in love and knowledge and understanding and judgment so that you might be able to approve, discern, make certain decisions about things that are excellent things, that you may be sincere without offense till the day of Christ. So this is a part of what we know is our duty to each other. We need to be very careful and we need to be very guarded. We need to use discernment and we need to make sure that there is sincerity about our life. That's what he is saying here. Be watchful of your life. Be sincere in what you're doing. You're going to love each other. You're going to serve each other. You're going to come to the aid of each other. Be sincere in the doing of it. Don't just go through the motions of things. We will never have a long-term impact on this community if these are not things that we embrace and hold dear. We must be committed to these things, regardless of the circumstances that might surround us. And so we must continually be trusting God, confident of God and what he is doing in our life, regardless of what circumstances unfold. We are still going to be committed to loving each other as we should. And we're going to be committed to advancing that love in a way that is intelligently fitted to those that we are ministering to and that we are constantly growing and multiplying in our life, the fruits of righteousness waiting for the day that we stand before Christ. Those are things that we know. They are sure. We don't have to look into the future and wonder if these things are valid. These are real things that we can bank on. Some things we don't know, this we do. Confident of this very thing. There's another passage in chapter 2 that I just want to draw from for a moment again. The second passage this morning is in chapter 2. And again, things that we can know for sure and not wonder about. This is what God's will is for us. We can know that. And the portion I'll read is verses 12 through the first part, phrase of verse 16. But look at verse number 12. He says, "Wherefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed." It's interesting that "wherefore," of course, looks back to some things that he has been working out here. And I suppose, without going into great detail here, we could at least back up to verse number 11, where we know that the day is coming where the whole world, and us included, will stand before the great Lord Jesus Christ and declare him to be Lord of all. Heaven will echo this phrase, "He is Lord. He is Lord." And we will be there. And people who don't even believe, lived a whole life rejecting him, will be a part of acknowledging, reluctantly. They may hate it, but they will acknowledge that he is Lord. And knowing these things to be true, my dearly beloved, as you have always obeyed, the inspiration of obedience is based on the fact that we believe that Jesus Christ is Lord. and that there is coming a day of accountability to the Lord. Why would we obey if we do not believe that? Why would obedience be a matter of concern if we deny that? But the fact that we believe He is Lord, brethren, is part of the motivation why we want to obey Him, because we will give an account of our life to Him. And so, my dearly beloved, as you have always obeyed, and that is not referring to perfection of obedience, by the way. None of us perfect obedience. But we should all, as the children of God, be committed to obeying all the time. That should be our desire, to be obedient to the things of God. This is a characteristic of the church at Philippi, and I would hope it would be a characteristic of Great Life Baptist, regardless of what our tomorrows look like, regardless of God's plan concerning us, that we will be an obedient people. And so, therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not in my presence, as in my presence only, but even much more in my absence, you have proved your obedience. May you continue to work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. And he is not suggesting here that salvation is something you can work to gain. What he is saying is, if you have salvation, you need to be actively engaged in the working of that salvation out into your everyday life. If God has saved you, and you're in possession of eternal life, then let's begin to work that out more and more into our daily life. Whether it's our marriage, our family, our church life, our job, wherever it is, we need to be engaged in the working out of our salvation. Make it practical. Make it fit in every area of life. This doesn't matter what happens long-term in the community. This is to our brethren, to the members of Great Life Baptist Church, that these words are spoken, and these are valid words that remain regardless of what your future is or what our future is. And so, work it out. And work it out with fear and trembling. Why would he add this phrase, work out your salvation with fear and trembling? For one simple reason. There is nothing more valuable that has been entrusted to you than your salvation. Nothing. Cherish it. Protect it. Nurture it. Feed it. Do everything that is necessary to cultivate that salvation. Fear and trembling, great care, great caution. Don't be sloppy in how you manage your salvation. The writer of Hebrews told the Christian Hebrews that they were in danger of great things because they neglected the salvation that God had given to them. And so the warning is to you, be careful. Work it out with fear and with trembling. And we have this reason, this argument, because it is God who is at work in you. Know this is true. He that hath begun the good work will complete it. Know this is true. God is at work in you. Regardless of what is happening in circumstances around you, God is at work in you. He will use circumstances to help nurture what is in you, to bring out what is in you. You have to be careful that circumstances don't become a hindrance to the preventing of the working of that out. So he says, it is God who is at work in you, both to will and to do of his own good pleasure. God is at work, both to will and to do of his own good pleasure. That's comforting to me. That is not intimidating. That's not threatening. I find great comfort to know that God is at work in me. God is changing my will to conform to His will, both to will. That my will, if I were left to my will, I would not will to do anything righteous and holy and good. I rejoice to know that God is in me and He's shaping my will after His will. And I rejoice to know that not only is He shaping my will, but He is shaping my will to action, both to will and to do His good pleasure. So why is God working in me? Why is He changing my thinking? Why are my affections being altered? It's so that His will would be worked out in my life, both to will and to do what brings Him the greatest pleasure. Not me, but Him. And so therefore we're told, in light of these things that we, the church at Philippi, the church, Great Light Baptist Church, we are being told these things because these are unchanging truths, regardless of circumstances, regardless of what tomorrow holds, regardless of whether or not we have 150 next Sunday or whether we have 50. It doesn't matter. What matters is that we are devoted to the things that matter to God. God will take care of the rest of those things. We trust Him with that. But what He is interested in is our dedication to His pleasure, to His will. And so we are to do all things without murmurings and disputings. Why is that? What is He talking about? We are to work out our salvation. We are to live our Christian life in this world, not as people who are constantly debating and arguing with God and let alone with one another. We are not to be disputing and murmuring, complaining. This is not a beautiful trait to a child of God. It's not a very pretty sight to see murmuring and complaining. One of the great reasons for that, it does have a negative impact on others around you for sure, whether it be your own family or your brothers and sisters in the church, but it definitely will have a negative impact on the world around us that is observing us. And that's where Paul is moving here, toward the community we live in. He starts with the body. The body must have a handle on what its purpose is in its own growth and God's intentions concerning them personally before they're ever going to have an impact that means anything. We're not about trying to persuade and convince people and do everything we can to get them to become members of Great Light Baptist Church. We want them to want to be a part because of what they see that separates you from just any other group. And that is, we are devoted to the things that matter to God. And we're not moving about complaining and murmuring about the ways of God, let alone our own relationships in the church. And so do all things without murmurings and disputing. In verse 15, he explains why. To this end, for this purpose, that you might be, you might have that appearance, you have this trait, this characteristic of being blameless and harmless, the sons of God. Blameless and harmless, the sons of God. And it's dealing here not with perfection again, but with the characteristics of what a Christian ought to be like. He's not looking to violate his Christian faith. He's not looking to be careless with his Christian faith. He doesn't want to be a stumbling block to someone watching the Christian faith as it's worked out in their life. So they want to be blameless. They don't want people to say, well, the reason I am not going to become a follower of Christ is because I've watched so-called Christianity in that person's life. That's blame, right? Or they say, I would never want to be a part of Great Light Baptist Church, of which we are a part, because so-and-so is just, well, they're a real hypocrite. That's casting blame. And it is important that we, as the body of Christ living in this community, is that we are blameless. We don't want people pointing fingers and using us as an excuse as to why they do not and will not be a follower of Christ or become a part of this particular body. So that you might be blameless and harmless as the sons of God. That's a pretty significant connection, is it not, to be called the children of the living God? We do not want the world to be able to criticize God because we are not living as the children of our Father in heaven. So we are to be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke. Again, just another way of saying we want to live above the criticism. Want to do everything in our power constantly, day after day, week after week, month after month. Live above the criticism. This is our mission. If we're going to have an impact on the world around us. And listen now how he works this out. All that he has said. Here's how it finds its way out into our community. Because where are we as a church? Where are we planted? We are planted in the midst of a crooked, warped, distorted, perverse culture, world, nation. Think about where we're planted. We live in a very wicked world. And God intends for us to be focused on the things that matter so that we are without blame as we live out our life in this community. So it's crucial for us to see that our mission begins internally. You cannot have an outward mission if you don't have an internal commitment to the things of God. This is how we must live. And then we will impact our environment. In the midst of a crooked and perverse culture among whom you shine as lights in the world. There's the picture. We live in a very dark world spiritually. We are meant to be a light. A lighthouse where we gather and the reality of who we are will permeate our neighborhood. We want the community to know that we are people of the light. We're not people of the darkness. We don't want to associate with the darkness. We want people to recognize we are children of the light. And so he says, this is the purpose here. Because we live in the midst of a perverse nation among whom we shine as lights in the world, holding forth that word of life. Now this is the practicality of it all. Our life is the open Bible, in a sense. It is the open book of God to the world around us, because we are holding forth the word that brings life, the word that is connected to life. And people need to know that if what we believe is real, then it will be evident in the life that we live. There will be light. It will be felt. It will be experienced. And we know the danger of hiding that lie, putting it under a bushel. Christ warns about that habit and tendency. So in order for us this morning, and it would be my desire, that we will have a tremendous impact upon this community, that we will see many drawn to Christ through the witness and the effort and the living of the members of this body. But that just doesn't happen. And so I'm reminding you, the way that we impact the world around us begins with the people that we are internally. And so I call you to that again. I call you to that reminder. I call you to take that into consideration one more time. To be that kind of person who is a light bearer, because they have taken their life and they have conformed it, and they are seeking to live obedient to the things of God. This is a lifestyle that is ultimately for the glory of God. And it requires a consistent commitment, but But it is what I believe that every one of us desire. We desire, as a family, a church family, not simply to move to Dale and Boonville for the purpose of owning our own building. That is wonderful. I rejoice in that gift. But that's not our mission. Our mission is the community where God has placed us. And we will not have an impact on that mission unless we are committed to who we ought to be in a very real, committed way in our own relationship to God. So a reminder to our dear families, and we would hope that if you're in this community, that what I've said to you today, I know we have a few that are visiting from our community around us, and I hope that you will see and be persuaded that this is the people that we want to be. This is who we want to represent, a light in the community where God has placed us. This is God's intention. This is His design. We're here by appointment. Let's not let that slip out of our hands by doing all that we must do to prepare ourselves to have an impact on the world around us.